Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue and we're coming to you from the Learning Resources Center on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The Center for Organizational and Human Resource Effectiveness at MTSU, or CORE for short, has joined forces with Rutherford County government to help provide leadership training for county employees. The Rutherford County Leadership Academy was conducted in 5 training sessions from January through May of this year, and here to talk about how the academy went and MTSU's role in it are Dr. Michael Hine of CORE and a psychology professor at MTSU, and Alana Sullivan, who is in human resources with Rutherford County government. Welcome.
Thank you.
Morning, thanks.
Dr. Hine, let's start at the beginning. Jeff Craig, who used to be the HR director for Rutherford County, approached Dr. Rick Moffitt, the director of CORE, and said what?
Well, he came to us and said that he would really like to see some rigorous leadership training for employees in Rutherford County. They had a number of people in management positions that he thought could really benefit from something that he wanted to be seen as challenging and something that people would really want to have done and that they would get a lot out of. And he talked to us a little bit about what we could offer, and we basically told him he probably couldn't afford that. But we wanted to work with the county. Jeff was an alumnus of our program. We had a long-standing relationship with the county. And so we looked at what we might be able to do. And by combining a class project with one of my graduate classes, my graduate training class, to do the needs analysis in the fall, mm-hmm. and using some of our internal CORE time with graduate assistants, who we call project associates when they're working on projects, and our own time, we were able to offer leadership training for 10 selected employees from Rutherford County in the spring.
So how did you conduct the needs analysis?
Well, the students basically interviewed the potential, the candidates, the people that were coming into the training program, and used the Center for Creative Leadership model of leadership development as a basis for asking them what areas would they benefit from receiving training in. And so mostly it was based on the individual employees' perceptions, but using a sound theoretical model of leadership development and to get at specific skills that they could use in the job.
And how were the employees chosen? Obviously, you just had to pick, had to limit your number out of the many employees in Rutherford County. So what criteria did you use to select the employees?
There was actually an application process that we went through. A news brief went out to all employees and employees that were in leadership roles. We encouraged them to apply. The application consisted of about 10 different questions, basically wanting to know about their leadership styles, what they considered to be their strengths, their weaknesses, and also their motivation of why they would want to participate in a leadership program like this. And then the Human Resource Department and Mayor Ernest Burgess did the final selection of the 10 for this first year's program.
So take me through a typical workshop day. What would it be like if I were a Rutherford County employee going into a workshop session? What could I expect?
Okay, well, the first thing we did, even prior to the sessions, was they took a Hogan Personality Inventory, which is a personality, they took it online through a relationship that we have with Hogan Assessments, and they received a report from that, and they had an individual counseling session with a leadership coach that talked about how their personality could interact with their leadership style and affect their employees.
That was partially what the test was to find out as well?
Exactly, yeah.
The is test, it something like a Briggs-Myers? Or?
It is, except the Hogan is specifically developed to predict job performance. Okay. And has been used, they have a large database with 360-degree feedback instruments on managers that they can use as a reference point for saying these personality styles tend to do well in these areas and have problems in these areas. And so the coach, who has to be certified by Hogan Assessments, can sit down with them and talk about their strengths and weaknesses in terms of their personality and how it's likely to affect their leadership style.
Okay.
Then we had 5 sessions. We specifically spread them out over 5 months because we wanted them to take what we talked about in the sessions, apply them in the workforce, and come back and talk about it so that it wasn't a week of intense training and then they go out and the first time they try something, maybe it doesn't work, and so they don't try it again. This gave them a more of a support system for trying to apply what we were working on. And we also teamed them up where they had partners within the training. The 10 managers each had a partner, so there were five teams, and we had them work on some things during the training together so that they could get to know each other and work with each other, and then they could talk to each other during that month and use each other as a support when they were trying to implement some of the things that we talked about. Then we'd come in and basically Dr. Moffitt and I worked together. We both taught every session and we would provide sort of the theoretical knowledge and then we'd have them apply it with actual practical applications there. A lot of times with role play, like the first session was on goal setting and providing feedback. And so we had specific scenarios built that we designed for the training where they would actually do goal setting with each other, pretending one of them to be the manager and the other one to be an employee. And a third person would observe and take notes and give them feedback based on the model that we taught them. Then we take a break and we do the same thing with providing feedback. And so there was a lot of emphasis on practical application, both during the training and during the month in between, where they would come back after the first session. They'd come back and the first thing we'd do is talk about lessons learned when they tried to apply the training and have them each talk about when they did the goal setting with an actual employee, how did it go, what worked, what didn't work, so that they could learn from each other and we could provide some insight into how things might be improved.
Alana, does this kind of collaborative model that Dr. Hine is describing, does it fit well in a county government situation where you have supervisors and underlings and of course, you know, people have to respond to their supervisors and, you know, there are different levels of pay grades and that kind of thing?
It actually worked very well having the ability to tailor the training to Rutherford County employees generally speaking, because the things that they deal with on a day-to-day basis isn't always the same as something that someone else in the private industry would deal with. Someone who is in a marketing department outside may not deal with the same thing that a county employee does. So having that support group that they created within was priceless for the employees.
What about if you were a person who was not in a supervisory capacity, but you aspire to become a supervisor in some, whatever your government agency is someday. Is this a good exercise for someone like that who's looking to move up, but who needs to, say, develop leadership skills because they haven't been in a supervisory capacity before? Is this something that would help them?
Actually, that is our long-term goal. We started kind of at the top and we're working our way down, but it is great for potential leaders or high potential employees who do want to take on leadership roles. This is something that we hope to offer to them in the future.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hine, Alana alluded to a governmental entity being different in the way it does things than a private sector entity. Do you have to arrange training such as this differently for private sector and public sector entities?
Well, we did have to tailor it some. We would go through what we were talking about in terms of the models and the examples and say, well, that may not really fit county government well. We knew from talking to them early on that they have a difficult time rewarding good performance on the part of employees, yet part of the goal setting model is you should reward performance. Their hands are a little tight on that, and so we did some brainstorming with them on what could be done to recognize and reward employees within the confines of a county government system, where if you reward someone for doing a great job by giving them half a day off, the public might say that's a waste of tax dollars. Mm-hmm. And so your hands are tied in a lot of ways to things that for-profit companies, people aren't going to question.
Okay. Alana, did any accommodations have to be made to free the employees up for the training? In other words, while employee X was at the workshop, did employee X's colleagues have to kind of take up the slack, or was it not that time consuming that certain duties had to be put aside for this brief period of time in order to allow the employee to go to the training?
Actually, all of the participants knew months in advance when the sessions were going to be held. So they were able to schedule that time to make sure that their calendars were available. Also, in almost any department at the county, it's a team environment. They all work very, very closely together to get the job done at the end of the day. So it was really not an issue. If someone is out for something, someone else pitches right in and picks up. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge benefit because what they learned in those training sessions, they could take back and share with their employees and their coworkers. So it wasn't an issue at all.
For example, when you talk about the sorts of things they learned, give me an example and how that would work in a real-world situation in Rutherford County government. How what they learned can be made like directly applicable to their jobs.
One of the things that sticks out probably the most in my mind was the communication session that they learned, because they learned techniques and they learned to be aware of their biases and tendencies. And so once they were made aware of things and how other people might perceive things, they could take that back and actually apply it with how they praise their employees, how they work with their employees through performance issues, or they teach them how to do a new task. They were able to be aware of those things and carry that back and listen. And listening was probably a big session for them too, just to learn how important that was.
Okay, that's intra-departmental or inter-departmental communication. How about communication with the public, since the county does serve the taxpayers?
It actually is the same. That if you have a disgruntled customer come in, or a disgruntled citizen come in, or someone who's just confused on the policies or procedure that is in place, then they use those same skills and those same techniques to make sure that there was the same interpretation for a citizen who comes in.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hine, it strikes me to be leadership is a quality sort of like parenthood, in that there's no real preparation for this in one's K through 12 experience or higher ed experience, unless someone is going into a profession such as yours, for example. So how does one define leadership for purposes of helping people this? And do you have to define the word leadership differently for whatever entity you're serving at the time?
Well, there's definitely, I think you're absolutely right, that for the most part we do very little to prepare people to be leaders. Even getting a PhD in industrial organizational psychology, I learned the theory of goal setting, but I didn't have practical application of setting goals, communicating to them, to employees, and giving them feedback. So even though I had a basis for starting that, I really didn't have any good experience to draw from in terms of what would work and what wouldn't work, sort of a bag of tricks that would help me implement those things. And I think if you look at our educational system as a whole, very few people are getting that kind of preparation. And I don't know if I answered your question exactly.
Well, yeah, I think you did. I think you answered part of it. The other part of it being, do you have to define leadership differently depending upon what sort of company or what sort of governmental agency you're serving?
Well, there are thousands of definitions of leadership out there. We really try to work with something that was a developmental model of leadership skills with a broad application. Things like setting goals, feedback, communication, time management, delegation, are in the Center for Creative Leadership model, which is pretty well researched. And so we were looking for something that would have a broad basis. Honestly, this we wanted to work on training for leadership development that would allow us to generalize and use in other settings. And that's where we begin to see some recoup of our investment that we put into this. And we looked at it as an investment. And we've already got inquiries from more than one company that's interested in, and we actually gave them our modules that we used for Rutherford County as examples. And we've already got a couple of inquiries of people that are very interested in doing this kind of training in their companies.
This is a question for both of you. Suppose you've got two employees who have two different concepts of leadership in their mind that correlate to their different personalities. For example, if you've got somebody in accounting who's very method and process oriented, they might go up certain steps up the hierarchy to solve a job-related task or a job-related problem, whereas if you've got firefighters and police officers who have to make split-second decisions on the because lives are at stake, then that kind of individual might very well be a point A to point B, don't mess around, just get down there and do it kind of an employee. So how does one balance the leadership skills of those two very different personality types?
Want me to take that one? Well, actually, we capped off the whole training session with an overview of a theory called situational leadership, which is that the appropriate leadership style depends on the situation. And managers need to be flexible enough to diagnose the situation and then use the appropriate style. And research shows that the majority of managers use one leadership style with all people in all situations, and that's not maximally effective.
Yeah. There are certain emergencies in which, you know, you don't have time to mess around with the boss. You've got to make a command decision right then and there.
Right. So depending on the situation, the appropriate style might not be the style you're most comfortable with, and you really need to practice some of those other styles to be a more flexible leader.
Mm-hmm. And Alana, does participation in the academy translate into positive, tangible results when it comes around to those annual evaluations, raises, promotions? I mean, I'm sure this will go into their personnel files, each employee's who participated in the academy. Is this something that a boss or a supervisor is going to look favorably upon when that employee comes up for an evaluation next time around?
I can definitely tell you it's not tied to merit raises or anything of that sort. It is in their personnel files. It is one of the things that they learned was goal setting, and that's helped them to set goals, specific goals, for their personnel and performance evaluations and reviews. So it's helped them in a lot of different ways, and it is tied to the goals that they're going to set for this upcoming year for the employees who have gone through. So it is a benefit.
Was there any particular reason for January through May over any other time, or is, with regard to the fiscal year or the ebb and flow of work, or is that just when the contract ran?
Mainly just when we were able to contact them, get everything started, and we wanted obviously for it to correlate with their semester system since so many grad mm-hmm. students were working and involved on the projects.
And it was a fall class that did the needs analysis, and mm-hmm. so that led into the spring. It's not necessarily tied. In fact, we're talking about if we do it again, maybe starting later mm-hmm. in the year, and avoid the whole spring break issue with all of the different spring breaks we have.
Yeah. How many students did you have involved in this, Dr. Hine?
Well, there were two students at CoRE that are project associates that supported the training throughout. And then there was a class project with five students on. For my graduate class, I divided them, and we did two class projects. One group did this needs analysis, and another group did another project.
Okay. And in terms of practical, real-world instruction, how does this accrue to their benefit as they progress toward a degree?
Well, we really try, and I believe we've succeeded at developing a very hands-on training program for our master's students. That we do give them a theoretical basis, but they get strong practical application. And several of our classes will have these kinds of applied class projects. And basically results in a resume item for them where by the time they graduate with their master's degree, they've got half a dozen applied class projects with resume items showing that they've done what it is that they've been taught how to do. And many of our students will easily get interviews for jobs that say that you should have 2 to 3 years of experience, sometimes even 3 to 5, because mm-hmm. of what they're able to say. The 2 years here was both education and experience.
Alana, does working with CoRE here at MTSU provide the county taxpayers any cost savings over what it would have cost you to go to a private firm and have the same services done?
Oh, absolutely. Without the generosity of CoRE and them volunteering their services and the use of their students and the applications that they're receiving, it's usually about a 50-60% savings overall, maybe even closer to 75 of what they would charge an outside company if they're volunteering their services for us.
Is this going to become an annual routine event?
We are hoping to continue the relationship, if at all possible.
So we'll be doing the same thing next year with different employees and different students,
yes.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Okay. Dr. Hine, tell us a little bit about CoRE and the sorts of things that it does. I mean, you do things like this, but you do so much more.
Okay. CoRE evolved over time. We've been doing consulting, we meaning the IO program, since 1992 when we did our first project with the Toshiba plant in Lebanon. But there was no central mechanism for coordinating the consulting, maintaining the contacts, nobody who was actually going out and saying, were you pleased with that project or is there something we could have done better? It was just sort of catch as catch can. And we ran it through whatever offices on campus we could run it through. Usually continuing studies in some form would try and help us out, but nobody was really focused on it. And so we proposed working with Dr. Bonner and Dr. Aker, who was the Dean of Education and the prior dean. We proposed the center as a way of coordinating our consulting efforts and improving the graduate program, making a more consistent approach to where they would have a lot more opportunity for these kinds of experiences. And we proposed that to the president, I guess, 4 years ago, as a model that we would need initial seed money from the university, but we would eventually become self-funding. And the president surprised us by funding our request in the meeting and saying, go and do it. And so we've been running to do it ever since. And we do job analysis, all the things that our students get trained to do, job analysis, develop performance appraisal systems, 360-degree feedback. There's a lot of interest right now with training projects. Developing customized training is probably one of our strong suits, where we actually do a needs analysis and tie the training to the organization. Do strategic planning. We're doing several strategic planning sessions actually with units on campus, mostly with Dr. Moffitt or Dr. McCarthy. All of our IO faculty act as consultants in the center, and all of our students can be hired on as project associates, which really helps us to do high quality work without the same price that you would get from a top tier consulting firm.
And you mentioned Toshiba. Can you mention some of the other clients that CoRE has had?
Well, technically, Toshiba wouldn't have been a CoRE client because CoRE didn't exist when we did that.
Okay.
Right now, we're working with Smith, Seckman, and Reed, which is an engineering consulting firm in Nashville. We just signed a couple of contracts with Kroll Background America, which is they background security checks. I think they do MTSU's background security checks. I was at a SHRM meeting the other day, and about a third of the people raised their hand when they asked if Kroll did their background checks.
you were mentioning before we went on air that you're really slammed right now. That business is booming.
Yeah, we're really, I would say, at capacity in terms of keeping students busy. And if we're going to have, if the primary goal of the center is to train students through work on projects, then we have a natural limit there to the amount of work we can do. And right now we're booked through probably the end of September with either signed contracts or contracts that are pretty close to being signed with developing training programs and strategic planning sessions. And we're working with the Tennessee Small Business Development Center on a performance measurement system. And those projects pretty much have us busy for the near term, and we're not really working the phones at all right now. But, you know, we hope to keep busy all year long, and right now that takes us through the end of September. So,
is Rutherford County the first governmental agency that you've worked with? Or have you worked with other governments in the past?
I think we've worked with Rutherford County in the past on some different projects. Mm-hmm. I had a class project that did performance appraisal for their IT group. Mm-hmm. And we've done some job analysis there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we may be doing some job analysis with the class project in the spring. I like class projects. If we can do class project work for a nonprofit, that makes sense to me, because the students are learning, the agency is benefiting, and it's not a for-profit company that's getting free work. It's, mm-hmm. it's something that's contributing back to the society, and we actually have a pretty strong belief that we want to contribute back. And I can tell lots of people, we may put a lot of work into the Rutherford County project, but we live in Rutherford County, mm-hmm. so we gain a benefit from having better managers in Rutherford County.
Do you, when clients approach you, do they approach you after they have discovered that something is amiss or that they have problems, or are they proactive and approach you in anticipation of getting better?
Both. Actually, the consulting model would say, even if they think they know what's wrong, you really need to sit down with the client and make sure that they've got the right source of the problem identified. Lots of times, in my own example, I teach the graduate training class. Lots of times, companies will assume that they can fix the problem through training, because that will fix the employees, and the problem must be with the employees, when the problem might actually be with the organizational design, and that they could fix things easier, or maybe a more appropriate fix is a job redesign or organizational redesign.
But in the case of Rutherford County, you were not trying to redesign the organizational structure. You were trying to help individuals.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Correct. If folks want to learn more about Corey, who should they call? Who should they email?
I'll put my email out since I have that on the top of my head. I'm Michael Hein, mhein@mtsu.edu.
It's M-H-E-I-N, right?
Right. And Corey is on the MTSU website, if you look under Corey. And I'd be glad to talk with people or answer their emails.
That's C-O-H-R-E.
Right.
And Alana, you are here to be a testimonial or the representative of many people who can give testimonials as to the usefulness of the service for Rutherford County.
Absolutely. It was very, very high quality training that was, like I said, tailored to our employees, completely on their needs analysis individually. They had one-on-one counseling and coaching sessions on specific issues that they dealt with and things that were difficult for them and areas that they wanted guidance for improvement on. It was, again, priceless.
Well, I thank you both for being here, especially you for taking time off work, Alana.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And thank you, Dr. Hein,
okay.
as well.
Okay. Well, thanks for having us.
This is MTSU On the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Please join us again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can go to www.mtsunews.com and download the podcast at your leisure. And we're also available on iTunes.